గుర్న కర్మానురాపాను రూపాని తాన్యహం వేదనోజన బహూని శంతి నామాని రూపాని చాసుతాస్యతే గుణకర్మానురూపాని తన్యాహం వేదనో జనః బహూని శంతి నామాని రూపాని చాసుతాస్యతే గుణకర్మానురూపాని తన్యాహం వేదనా జనః. ప్లీజ్ చంద్. బహూని శంతి నామాని రూపాని చాసుతాస్యతే గుణకర్మానురూపాని తన్యహం వేదనా జనః బహూని శంతి నామాని రూపాని చాసుతాస్యతే గుణకర్మానురూపాని తన్యహం వేదనో జనః బహూని వేరియస్ శంతి దే ఆర్ నామాని నేమ్స్ రూపాని ఫార్మ్స్ చ ఆల్సో sutasya of the sun te your guna karma anurupani according to his attributes and activities tani them aham I veda no na janaha. Not ordinary persons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For these sons of yours, there are many forms and names according to His transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Purport. Bahuni. The Lord has many names. Advaita Nachutta Nanadi Nananta Rupan Adyam Purana Purushanna Vajovanancha. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.33, the Lord is one, but He has many forms and many names. It was not that because Gargamuni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He has other names such as Bhaktavaksal, Giridhari, Govinda, and Gopala. If we analyze the Nirukti or semantic derivation of the word Krishna, we find that Na signifies that he stopped the repetition of birth and death, and Krish means satartha or existence. Krishna is the whole of existence. Also Krish means attractions, and Na means ananda or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda because he wants to give everyone a spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, Because of the living entity's little independence, the living entity wants to deprogram the program of Krishna. This is the material disease. Nonetheless, because Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to the living entities, he appears in various forms. Therefore, he is called Krishna, because Garga Muni, as an astrologer, he knew what other names did not know. He knew what others did not know. Yet, Krishna has so many names that even Garga Muni did not know them all. It is to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transcendental activities, has many names and many forms. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Rupaswamiti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Advaita Nachuttam Anandin Anadin Ananta Rupam. So the Lord is Advaitan, means that is one, and then Ananta Rupa means that he has many forms. So this appears that is some sort of a contradiction. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult to understand that for people in general, Garga Muni Rishi, or Garga Muni, he points that out, that he can understand this fact, but people in general don't understand them. Because people in general, for conditioned souls, to take things that appear contradictory and equate them, or resolve them, is very difficult. So if you're one, but you have many different forms and manifestations, then now you're not one, you're many. So either you're one or you're many. So the mind of the conditioned souls cannot resolve these contradictions. So therefore, it's either one or the other. You know, either you're inside or you're outside, but you cannot be simultaneously inside and outside. You cannot be simultaneously one and be many. So this thing for the conditioned soul is an inconceivable thing. So it's not possible, and therefore they cannot understand it. And they cannot understand it because, in one sense, we try to see the world according to our personal experience. So we don't have an experience of something like this, that, you know, you are a singular being, but at the same time you're many beings. So it's inconceivable. So there is this, always these things that there's a term that defines each one of these different positions. So there is a term that defines this position of oneness of God, which is monotheism, that there's a one supreme being, And there is a term that defines that there is many forms of the divine. That's polytheism. So, but, and then, you know, these are very contrasting ways of understanding the absolute truth, and they also conflicted. In general, in India, or what is modern Hinduism, they tend to embrace this concept of polytheism because that's what they read in the, that's how they, and you know, they in the Vedic scriptures, this is the different, the conception is there. So we have not only many forms of Vishnu that are manifested, but also you have different forms of Shiva and different forms of other, and then there's other so many demigods that are there. So all these different manifestations of controllers in the creation, and just because of that fact, then for common people in India, they accept this concept of polytheism. And then there is the branches that are monotheistic, and there is the Vaishnavas are known as monotheistic. Especially the ones who establish this conception of monotheism very strongly was Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya especially took a hard stance on the conception of monotheism, that his philosophy is Dvaitavada, which means there is two very differentiated things and they're not equal. So there is God, and the rest is his energies, and they're not equal. God is the one without a second and is the source of everything. Everything else is his energy. So some scholars, they analyze or they try to explain Madhvacharya's position by saying that he was influenced by Christianity, by the monotheistic view of the Judeo-Christian teachings. So some say that he was influenced by that, but historically doesn't, you know, that has been completely refuted by Vaishnavas. However, the point that I'm trying to make is that in general, people embrace this concept of polytheism in India. And in the West, they completely reject the Judeo-Christian backgrounds, religions. They completely reject the conception of polytheism. So they say monotheism, there's only one God, and that one God is a God that is presented in the Bible. And everything else is just man-made or imagination-made or a pagan type of gods that don't exist. So you have these two very extreme opposites that have no proper understanding of the nature of the Absolute Truth. So in the teachings of the great acharyas, according to the Vedic scriptures, the revelations of the Vedic scripture, it is very clearly established this conception that although God is one without a second, he manifests many different forms simultaneously without compromising anything. That although the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in unlimited forms, anantarupan. Anantarupan means unlimited forms. He still remains Advaitan. He still remains complete. Om Purnam Adat Purnam Idan Purnan Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adayam Purnan Evan Vashishyate. That although he is full and complete, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead is full and complete, and although he is spanning himself in unlimited form, he still remains full and complete. And each one of those forms that expands from him, they're also full and complete. So this is the transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the most comprehensive and complete form of understanding, of philosophy of understanding the Absolute Truth, is that one that was established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Achintya Veda, Veda Tattva philosophy. That Achintya means it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable for the materialist, for conditioned souls. It's inconceivable because it's simultaneously one and different. So the Lord can manifest this simultaneously, one and differences. So he can be one, but he also can be many. And he can do that according to his transcendental desires. According to what he desires, according to the activity that he's going to perform, what particular pastime, he assumes a particular form. And Prabhupada gave the example, a simple example, that even you can see that on like a regular person, that in different situations of the person's life, he manifests different type of profile or external appearance. And that external appearance also have a set of interactions with the world that is different. So if you have a high court judge, at home he may be dressed in his pyjamas and very relaxed in his home, sitting, and you know, the children will address him as daddy and his wife will address him a certain way and this and like that, and there's a very relaxed, intimate situation. Sometimes Prabhupada explains that the children will be with this powerful judge, the children will be playing horse, so it will be the father would carry the child playing the part of a horse. So so that's that circumstance. But then when he comes out into the court, then he puts, you know, that whatever, that wig, and not now, but before it used to be, or I think in England they still do, you know, they put that wig. And they put the robes, And then as they enter the court, it's all pomp. Everybody raise up, the judge is here, so you cannot wear a hat. You know, you have to show all this respect. And the person is only addressed as Your Honor. There's not even a name, you know, so, but it's Your Honor. It's a very respectful and reverential type of exchanges that is done to this personality. So it's a complete different profile. It's almost a complete different form. The Bhagavatam also gives the example that Krishna becomes like an actor. So although the actor is this one person, but for the particular play or the particular play that he has to perform, then he puts a different form. Sometimes he may even dress, you know, a man will dress like a woman and act, you know, like a female character. And sometimes he will dress as an old person, sometimes he will dress as an animal. So according to the particular character that he have to depict, then there is a dress, is a form that is assumed, a personality that is assumed, but the actor remains the same person. It doesn't change. So similarly, the personality of Godhead, according to the particular pastime that wants to perform, he manifests a particular form. So so therefore, when we have the proper understanding of the absolute truth, when we understand that the Lord has unlimited potencies and he can do all these things, so therefore we can actually make sense of the whole thing. The inconceivable becomes conceivable by transcendental knowledge. So we can perfectly embrace this concept, Advaitan, Achyutan, Anadin, Ananta Rupan, that the Lord is Advaitan, is one, is Achyutan, is infallible, is Anadin. So he is completely blissful, and Ananta Rupan, he has unlimited forms. And here's another one, he's Adyam Purana Purusham. So he's the oldest, the original person, the oldest of all beings, but he's Navajovanancha, that he is ever youthful and fresh. So although he is the eldest, he always is always youthful. He always appear anywhere between 16 and 20 years old, like that. So he's a very beautiful youth. So all the things are possible, all times of contradictions are fully resolved in the absolute truth, in the personality of Godhead. So he can be inside, he can be outside. What is it that we sing for Lord Nrisimhadev? He is everywhere. Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho. He is Bahir, he's outside, but he's also within the heart. So he's inside too, simultaneously. So all these things we can understand perfectly well and embrace. And we can understand that also the positions of his different expansions and his different empowerments that he does, his unlimited appearances in this world. It is explained that he appears in every single species of life. And the Bhagavatam narrates, you know, so many of these incarnations. However, it is explained that the Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets is thousands and thousands and times bigger than the Bhagavatam that we have access in this earthly realm. So there's narrations of as many different appearances of the Lord as there is explained that is waves in the ocean. They're unlimited. That the personality of Godhead, Lord Anantashesha, who has unlimited hoods, is not able to fully narrate or catch up with the unlimited appearances of the personality of Godhead. So one can only imagine or to conceive these inconceivable potencies. So everything is resolved on the personality of Godhead, and we can explain that yes, we worship, we are a monotheistic religion. Sometimes when people come to the temple and they ask about the deities, and we say, you know, we're explaining that we worship the one supreme, but we see in the altar we worship in different forms. And so we can explain that yes, this is the same supreme being manifested in different forms to perform and to reciprocate with the devotees in such way. We have the forms of Radha and Krishna, Shishi, Kishore, Kishori, that are the complete manifestation of the absolute truth, the original personality of Godhead, that are ever inviting to relate in this very loving, intimate way with all the living entities. We have the form of Gaur Nithai, which is the same personality but in the mood of giving in the mood of capturing those conditioned souls that wants to be wants to go apart or away from their eternal relationship with Krishna. And in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna is bringing them back and giving them the relationship that had been lost, you know, with the loving relationship with Krishna. So it's this very magnanimous giving manifestation of Lord Krishna, very merciful. And then we have Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladev and Srimati Subhadra Maharani, that are this form of ecstasy of the union and separation from Krishna, that the ecstasy that Krishna experienced in the separation and union with his devotees, and also sharing or experiencing that mood with him. And each one have very wonderful, beautiful pastimes that depicts this mood. How Lord Jagannath assumed that form that is, you know, with the eyes and the smile and no limbs, is just a manifestation of the ecstasy that he felt when remembering the devotees in Vrindavan. So the same personality, and then how he empowers other personalities like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and the different demigods as his representative, and he gives them powers. He actually allowed them to, you know, take up particular potencies that comes from him in order to perform a particular activity. that is required for the management or the administration of the Lord's creation. So we can understand all that. We can understand that there is a supreme controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna. And we can understand his eternal form is Satchitananda Vigraha. So, through the grace of great personalities like Garga Rishi, then we get to know this, because he is explaining that. He is explaining that to Nanda Maharaj, and through the Bhagavatam is explained to all of us. We get to know that. We get to know that Krishna has many forms and many names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. And therefore, we can be safe from the ignorance of the proper understanding of the Absolute Truth. I stop here. Any comments or questions? Sorry, bro. Good. Okay. Thank you very much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.